Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 25 of Electrified. I'm your host, Eric Lyons. We are here. This is episode 25. This is a small milestone for me, but happy we made it to 25 episodes. Shout out to everybody who listens and, you know, supports me. I appreciate you. I appreciate the support as we are here and to the end of the month of March. Time is flying. And with that being said, we are in the midst of March Madness. So today we're going to have a full scale breakdown and dive in, whatever you want to call it. We're going to go dig all up and through March Madness. And I want to talk about the NCAA and everything that's been going on in March Madness. I want to talk a little NBA, talk a little boxing, and of course a little NFL. But I said we get started with the NCAA tournament. Now, where do I begin? I really don't know where to begin. Like, I just don't. But I think we should get started with the Duke and UCF game. That's where we have to start. What a game. What a game. Wow. It's interesting to see, because of course everybody's been watching. I've been watching like most of the games, not just the big games. I've been watching, you know, since the round of 32. And, you know, it's interesting how these halves can be so different. One team can dominate the first half and completely fall apart in the second half. And it's not even about the halves, the 20 minutes. It can be 8 minutes, 11 minutes, 5 minutes that can change a game. When these teams go on these runs, 11 to 2, 10 to 4, 15 to 5. Like these runs, these momentum swings change these games drastically. And then not even that, it can be just one or two plays that can change the game. One or two. A call, a no call, that could completely change the game. And that's what we saw yesterday with Duke and UCF. This was a game that I thought could go either way. But to see it play out in the most dramatic fashion possible, whew, a heartbreaker for the students at UCF. First of all, hats off to them. They played. They played as hard as they could. They did their thing. I can't take nothing away from them at all. And big ups to Coach K and the Duke boys for sticking it out. Survive in advance. That's the motto. Survive in advance. That is the motto. And that's exactly what Duke did yesterday. Survived and advanced. In this tournament, don't matter how much you win by. A win is a win. A win is a win. Okay. Zion was Zion. That's what we expect from him. But the shooters on that team, Barrett and Reddish, I don't know. Those guys aren't guaranteed. I'll say that. They're not guaranteed. Yesterday, they didn't look like, you know, they didn't look like a set of players that was ready to go to the next round. They looked like they were ready to go home. And they almost did. So, comes down to the end. You know, it was close. UCF gets the ball on the fast break. What was the score? Hold on. I want to be sure of this. I believe at this point, they were, yes. I believe they were up three at this time. Up two or three. So they go down, fast break off the steal, go for a oop, miss the oop, come back, Duke hits the three. That's tough. That is tough. Between the missed alley-oop, Zion going in, which I really sticking to my guns. I believe that was a charge. And then big man filing out, because that was huge. Him getting big man on UCF in foul trouble early was huge for Duke. Absolutely huge. Just major. Major. And that's coaching. You know, you go right at him. There's only so much he can do. So much the refs are allowed to an extent. But he fouls out. Because when he's in the game, it's different for Duke. They're not driving in like that. And they're forced to take shots from the outside. And a lot of those weren't going down for them yesterday. So, yeah, that was big. And UCF, those guys were hitting a lot of shots. Like, they were hitting shots that were just... like, really? Like, he hit that? Threes, off-balance, mid-range, son. I was impressed. I liked that. That was good. Good game. And then they get the ball back. And here's another thing about the end of that game. Zion missed that free throw. Y'all not going to convince me that he missed that on purpose. No, I'm not rolling. I'm not following. No, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. He did not miss that free throw on purpose. He missed that one. And had they lost, we would be talking about that. But it didn't. They escaped. Now UCF gets the ball back, down by one. Only needed two to win. They get the position. They get in. They drive all the way in. And the basketball guys just didn't want it. They just didn't want to see that. Not today. Not their day today. Whew. Woo, boy, that was heartbreaking. I'm not even a UCF fan, and I was sad. Woo, man. That was something else. Wow. Great game, though. Great game. There were a lot of great games over the past, you know, first couple of rounds. I enjoy watching. So, here we are, Sweet 16. Games I'm looking forward to. We got Texas Tech. In Michigan, that's going to be a good one. Oregon and Virginia, that's going to be close. That's going to be a good game. That might be a big upset right there. LSU and Michigan State is going to be great. Auburn and North Carolina. Virginia Tech and Duke. Houston and Kentucky. And Florida State and Gonzaga. Purdue and Tennessee. Y'all going to make me pick these games, aren't you? All right, I'll do it. All right, here we go. This is the official Eric's Sweet 16 picks. Here we go. Let's get to it. Florida State and Gonzaga. You know what? I got Florida State beating Gonzaga. I'm going with the upset. The 4-1, I'm calling. Purdue and Tennessee. I got Tennessee coming out on top. Texas Tech and Michigan. Oh, you already know the vibes. Go blue. Michigan over Texas Tech. Oregon and Virginia. I got Virginia choking. Oregon beats Virginia. 12-1. LSU and Michigan State. Now, LSU looked good against Maryland. And Maryland got back in that game and almost won that ball game. Michigan State looked good in that game. I'm going with Michigan State for the win over LSU. Auburn and North Carolina. North Carolina over Auburn. Duke and Virginia Tech. Looks to my right. Looks to my left. I'm going Virginia Tech over Duke. It's going to happen. In the Sweet 16, Duke is going down. They're going down. Virginia Tech over Duke. 4-1. And then finally, Houston and Kentucky. That's a toss-up. But what Drake say? And I rock Kentucky blue. One is over. Drafted, I'm getting you. I'm going Kentucky over Houston. So that's my Sweet 16 picks, all right? You heard it here first. Those are my Sweet 16 picks. Thursday and Friday will be here before we know it. All right. Now, we talked about the games. Now, let's get serious for a minute. There's two situations I want to talk about. First, I want to play a clip that I saw that was floating around. Internet from a press conference. And this right here shed light on something that I had no idea about. This is, here is, excuse me. This is Kelvin Sampson talking about the NCAA and the travel plans with the parents. Hold on, here we go.
It's not money, it's travel and hotel rooms. I had wondered, one of my kids, I'm not going to mention who it is, his parents would like to come, and the only way they could come would be to drive. And then they'd have to get a hotel room, possibly for, if they came in on Friday, they would be here Friday and Saturday night. For a lot of people, that's not a big deal, but that's a big deal for that family. They don't have the money to do that. So they would have to decide how they would do it. And I've had families ask me, can I sleep on my son's floor in his room? Think about that now. You know, that's my life. That's not unusual for me. Can I sleep on his floor? Because they don't have the money to pay for a room. But when you look around at how big this industry has become, why can't we figure that out? I'm not saying give them this or give them that. I'm saying that when young men get to the NCAA tournament, let's find a way to get their parents and their brothers and sisters a plane ticket and a hotel room. I don't think that's asking too much.
I also don't think that's asking too much. The NCAA brings in an enormous amount of money every year. There's no reason parents shouldn't have dependable transportation, especially if they can't afford it. Just because these kids are at these big schools does not mean they come from, you know, upper echelon families with big, you know, high income families. That's not always the case. A lot of these guys, basketball was their way to the meal ticket. That they are the meal ticket. That was their way to the bag. Basketball, hooping at school for free. That was their way out. That's a lot of guys' situation. And a lot of their parents probably aren't there because they can't afford that. Imagine inner city kid, might as well say Baltimore, playing for North Carolina. He's in a NCAA tournament, right? Let's say I'm not sure where Carolina was just playing at on that side of the bracket. Let's just say, for hypothetical, let's say they were in Des Moines in Iowa. You think this family of an inner city background, lower to middle class, has money to fly to Iowa, get a hotel room, and don't know how long they're staying, depending on how many games they win. That's 2, 3, 4 nights, possibly tops. Fly back, possibly fly to the next city. Like, I don't think it's that hard for the NCAA to provide plane tickets and hotels. I'm not saying the entire family. No, I'm not saying that at all. Immediate family. How about this? Each player gets 5 tickets and 2 hotel rooms for the family. That could be double bed, cot, all that. Like, it should not get to the point where parents are sleeping on are asking to sleep on their kids' hotel room floors. No way. This tournament is too big. These moments are too big. And the industry is too big, man. That's ridiculous. I don't understand that. I'm not saying pay the players. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're not going to pay the players, y'all got to do something. Y'all got to do something for them. And, you know, everybody screams free education, free education. No, that's not enough. You know, you know, the student athletes, especially at that level, it's not enough. And it's funny that NCAA is running this bogus commercial right now. I said it's bogus. It's bogus. It's bogus, that commercial they got. Yeah, it's cute. It's cute how the life of a student athlete. Life of a student. Eric isn't a student athlete. Eric is not a student athlete, but Eric is a student, and Eric knows how hard that is. So Eric couldn't imagine how hard it would be to be a student athlete at any level, D1, D2, D3, hell, JUCO. And y'all gonna sit here and make a commercial with the hangover style front camera of his quote unquote day with them weak workouts, weak study sessions that were during the day. A lot of studying takes place during the night. I'm not talking 8 p.m. I'm talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 a.m. That was inaccurate. And the funniest part about it is they couldn't even get a real student athlete for it. You know why? They can't get paid for their Look, the NCAA is a joke. NCAA is a joke. I don't care. I don't. NCAA is a joke. It is. Sit here and tell me that free education is enough. I'm not saying these kids, they need to make millions of dollars. But it is easy to see why kids that have that ability, like a Zion, to go one and done. Or want to go straight to the league. I can understand that. Because I wouldn't want to hoop outside of the brotherhood, the school. You know, college is big. I understand that. I'm a college student. I get that. But if I'm a top-tier hooper and I'm hooping for free and there's a chance that my career could end right now on an injury and I never see a dime at what I'm good at, No. I want that opportunity to go to the league. Y'all not paying me. Y'all making a lot of money off me, but y'all not paying me. Y'all not paying me. And that's why a lot of kids get caught up in the Reggie Bush type situations. You know, get caught up in taking money and gifts from boosters. Because who else gonna do it? If they don't got it, who else gonna do it? Nobody. So I get that. And that's why I don't understand. This brings me to my next the next thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about Tom Izzo. You know, it's been a subject of conversation for the past couple of days now, but Eric didn't get to say his piece. Eric didn't get to say his piece. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about that. And then I'll be done with the NCAA. So, Tom Izzo and one of his players, last name Henry, on Michigan State, had a little altercation. So something goes wrong before when the timeout's called. Izzo meets him at half court, meets him on the court, and he's already chewing him out. Okay, cool. I don't have a problem with disciplining your players. I do not. But I do believe there's a time and a place for those type of actions, and it's not on the court in front of hundreds of people, in front of the entire country on national live television. Because I watched that live. I watched that game live. And without even touching my phone, I scrunched my face up at it because I didn't like it. Bro, listen. I don't care if it's Tom Izzo, John Beilein, John Calipari, Coach K, Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick, Tom Landry, John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh. Do I need to name every coach in every sport? I don't care who it is. I don't think a coach should be putting his finger in somebody, a kid's face, a young man's face. This is not a high school kid. This ain't a kid. It's a young man. That should be some respect. It should be. There's no reason for that. I didn't think it was called for. Okay, you chew him out. You point at him. You got your finger in his face. Got to the huddle. That should have been done right there. The antics. If you want to keep yelling at him, cool. Understand it's a close game. It's a tournament. Y'all don't want to go home. Emotions are high. But as a coach, as a professional coach, as the only one getting paid on the court, you should be able to hold your composure. You should be able to know how to conduct yourself in your place of business. Because this isn't their place of business. This is your place of business. They not getting paid. You are. You're the quote-unquote professional out there. So you get to the huddle, and you're still spazzing. But you're so mad that you lunge at the dude three times. They had to hold you back. That's not a good look. And a lot of people it's not about being hard or soft. It's not. It's not about being hard or soft. Now, I don't know what goes on in that locker room. Maybe that's normal for them. But I don't think it should have been done right there on national TV. I don't think it should have been done that way. It looked like he wanted to fight. And y'all talking about respect. Okay, let's say Henry did that to Izzo. Who was getting assassinated there? Who was getting crucified for that? I'm pretty sure we'd still be talking about that now. And there wouldn't be a lot of positivity. Henry would be a thug. Henry would be ungrateful. Henry would be on the bench. Once again, Henry would be a thug because you know what they would have really wanted to call him. I'm not going to say it, but y'all know what they really would want to have called him. But Izzo don't get that because Izzo's a coach. And Izzo loved the kids. Izzo want to coach the kids. And if you don't coach like that, you don't love the kids. Yeah, okay. There are a lot of ways you can coach a team and coach a player. And all players do not react the same. All players do not, you know, everybody's not reacting like that to that certain style of coaching. All coaches don't do that. Like I said, it's not about the yelling. It's about physically imposing yourself on one of your players and pointing your finger in his face like you're his dad and belittling him. Call me soft if you want. Call me soft if you want. Tell me I'm not experienced because I have never played a college sport or I never played high school football or high school basketball. You can tell me that all day long. Eric's position won't change. Eric will still say it was wrong. Because it was. I'm not off in this. Shannon Sharp said it. Candace Parker said it. I'm not off. I'm not losing my mind. I'm not saying that style of coaching needs to go away. Yell at your kids. Cuss at them. I understand that. You get frustrated. But to lunge at somebody like you're about to swing and to point your finger in their face after you already chewed them out for 2 minutes, that's uncalled for. That's uncalled for. I didn't like one bit of it. Say what you want. Say what you want. It's about respect. So because Izzo the coach, Henry just got to take that. He got to take that on the chin. He got to take that on the chin. I'm supposed to be okay with that because Izzo the coach. So y'all going to let another grown man point their finger in your face and lunge at you like he wanted to fight? That's okay because he the coach? Yeah, all right. Not me? Not me? No. No way. That made me really uncomfortable. And then once again, I will say this until I'm done talking about it. It's not about me being soft or anybody else being soft or hard. It's about the respect and the way he went about it. It wasn't respectful. It didn't look like coaching. It looked like an angry white man yelling at a black kid. That's what it looked like to me. And once again, if Henry would have did that, he would have been all types of thugs. And, yo, I want to say it so bad, but you already know where I'm taking it. He would have been all types of thugs on ESPN, on Fox Sports. Colin Cowherd, all of them would have had a field day if Henry would have acted like that. Whew. But I'm off that now. That's it, and that's all. I need to cool off. I don't even know what I want to talk about next. What would make me happy? What would make me happy to talk about? Son, I don't even know. All right, let's talk about Wilder's stamp with Showtime because I did like that. That was one of the highlights of this past week. Now, shout out to Deontay Wilder for staying with Showtime, staying loyal to the soil. This is where you became a star. And thank you for bringing the fight, your next fight, back to Showtime for free. That's big. That's nice. I appreciate that a lot. I really do. I'm glad you did that, you know, even with the 100 mil now, you feel me? So, you know, I'm glad you did that. I really am. I'm glad you did that. I know how the politics are. I know how they go. Now, Wilder did announce his next fight for May 16th, and I'm ready for it. I'm excited. I can't wait. I watched the press conference. And, you know, it was interesting. It was. So, what we got here is May 18th, not on Showtime. Not on pay-per-view, excuse me. Wilder versus Brazil. I'm excited. Now, speaking of Showtime and DAZN, DAZN is tripping. DAZN is upping the price from $9.99 a month to $19.99 a month. And for a whole year subscription, it's $99. Y'all have lost y'all rabbit minds if you think Eric Lyons is going to pay for that. You've lost your minds. You guys had me at $9.99. $9.99 was sweet. ESPN Plus is like $5 a month. DAZN, y'all tripping. Y'all tripping. Now I got to watch the fights like I know how. For the free. You brought it on yourselves. And speaking of DAZN, I'll tell y'all one thing about DAZN. Hey, listen to this, people. Don't do business with DAZN. I'm sorry. I'm done with y'all. I've been an advocate for y'all since y'all came on the scene. But y'all did me dirty two times. I said, I canceled my free trial. Why did they take money out of my account again? Why? No. Won't be doing business with you fools anymore. And that's on the set. No. Won't do that again. I'm getting off topic. But I just had to say that. DAZN is a no-go. While we're on boxing, let's just stay on boxing as a whole. We won't get back to Wilder. I'm going to get back to Wilder, but I got a lot on my mind as far as boxing goes. Shout out to Errol Spence for doing what Errol Spence was supposed to do. He beat Mikey Garcia for 12 rounds. Beat him. 12 straight rounds. Outlanded him by over 300 punches. Mikey only landed 75, I believe. Spence was almost to 400 punches. Great fight for Spence. Took a fight, you know. Shout out to Mikey for standing there hanging tough. But you have no business up there welterweight. Go back to where you belong. You made your millions. That's your big payday. You don't need to go back there ever again. Now go try to get that fight with Loma, because that's your best fight. That'll be your big money fight where you're comfortable. But you do not want to go see that again. No. But shout out to Garcia for taking a fight. And shout out to Errol Spence. He took a fight against an opponent a little bit older than him. And he did what he had to do. He handled him. He outboxed him. And it was just too much power. Looked like Mikey was ready to see God in moments of those fights. But you know, he didn't answer the phone. He screamed God's call. I respect that. He wasn't ready to go. But great for him. Now, once again with DAZN. Listen, man, DAZN is not it, man. Oscar De La Hoya. Y'all like how I said that? Oscar De La Hoya. Y'all like that? Oscar De La Hoya. All right, that's enough. Oscar De La Hoya said, let's see, hold up. I saw these tweets live. I thought this was pure comedy. At Errol Spence Jr. This was on Twitter, right after the fight. 3:32 a.m., March 17th. Congratulations on your victory. If you want to make real money, let me promote your next fight on at DAZN USA. Errol Spence quoted and said, "You don't treat black fighters well, brother." Hey, is he lying? Probably not. He's not. He's not lying at all. I respect that, and I'm glad he did it. You know what? Well, ain't no reason to hold the tongue. What Oscar going to do? Beat you up? No. Probably not. So shout out to Errol Spence for being real. Bringing it back to Wilder. Shout out to Wilder for being real as well. Sticking to your guns, man. Let's do it. Stick to your guns. Make them make that fight happen for you. Where you want it to be. How you want it to be. Because, you know, I looked at it the wrong way. I looked at it at face value last time. I don't think I talked about it to you guys, but I saw that they were giving him the $100 million offer for the 3-fight deal, including 2 with AJ. That's not it. I don't think that's it. I don't think that was a good deal at the time I did, because I just want that fight to happen so bad. But I respect Wilder for sticking it to his guns and getting us the free fight in May. I'm excited to see him back in the ring. Now, hold on. Let me see if I can get a sound bite, because Wilder already got this man scared. Wilder already scared this man. I don't even think he want to fight. Like, I was watching a press conference, fam. Wilder got that man scared already, fam. Like, already. Hold on, here we go. This was during a face-off. And it should be that way till this day. Till this day. He said, and it should be that way. He said he could hear that man heart beating. Because if somebody tell me they can hear my heart beating, you think I'm going to get in the ring with that? No. Man told me he could hear his heart beating. He don't want to see that. He going to knock that man out. Tough scene. Tough scene. But shout out to Wilder. I'm excited for the fight, of course. And who else? Let's talk about LeBron. Let's go ahead and talk about LeBron, man. I got some things to say. Okay. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I will spend as much time as need be. Lakers fans, all of you, the majority of you, are ungrateful and do not deserve LeBron James. First of all, I feel bad for LeBron. I'm sad for LeBron because I'm sad that LeBron picked the worst fan base and the worst front office. You fans are so disgusting and ungrateful. You don't deserve the king. You don't. You guys missed the playoffs, and y'all talking about Kobe. Y'all talking about, oh, he ruined the Lakers. He shouldn't have came. Blah, blah, blah. Bro, I believe this is the Lakers' sixth straight year without a playoff appearance. Sixth straight. So for the past five, LeBron-less, y'all ain't did nothing. Y'all haven't done a thing. Y'all were in fourth place before LeBron got hurt. LeBron get hurt. All hell breaks loose. Speaking of LeBron's injury, we see a screenshot from his doctor's account. Bron was supposed to be out 6 months. Bron came back 6 weeks. So y'all team, them bums, could have a chance to play in the playoffs. A chance. Bron wasn't 100%. Bron wasn't 100%. Y'all not going to keep blaming this on the West, bro. Bro, Bron's numbers didn't go down. Bron's numbers didn't go down. Is the West competitive? Of course it's competitive. But y'all not going to sit in here and act like the East not. Bron was in fourth place. Lakers won fourth place before Bron got hurt. When has Bron ever had an injury like this that has actually sidelined him for a long period of time? That's never happened like that before. You know who it has happened to? Kobe Bryant. Because after 2010, the last 6 years of Kobe's career meant absolutely nothing. And I don't think I saw that much grief for Kobe from the Lakers fans. It's about what have you done for me lately. I don't care about what Kobe did back then if I'm a Lakers fan. Kobe spent the last 6 years of his career on the sideline with 7-Eleven ice bags on his knees. And y'all talking about LeBron don't care about the team? LeBron not good for the team? LeBron's last game will probably either be in a playoff appearance or a finals appearance. Kobe's last game was a 60-point, 100-shot selection. Hunter took 100 shots for 61 points against the Utah Jazz in the regular season. Is this your king? Hell no. So stop disrespecting that man. Stop questioning that man's character. LeBron don't care about the team. LeBron's a bad leader. LeBron don't care about nothing but himself. LeBron didn't go to LA. Yo, LeBron tried to get these bums to the playoffs as much as he could. Not even at 100%. Y'all talking about LeBron? I guarantee if LeBron's healthy, we're not even talking about this. We're talking about can the Lakers, as a 5 or 4 seed, go to the finals. That's what we're talking about if LeBron doesn't get hurt. But I'm glad this happened. This is just like, I'll take it a step further. I'm glad LeBron, this happened for the Lakers organization's sake. Because there are clear changes that need to be made, and it starts with Luke Walton getting out of LA. The gun is too hot for Luke Walton. He went on a mission. The gun got too hot. It's time to send him home. It's time to send Luke home. It is. It's time to send Luke home. Okay? That's where they need to get started. When Aaron Rodgers had his injury problems last year, and the Packers were losing, it showed some things. And you see where Mike McCarthy is? Gone. Same situation here. It's time for some things to get made. You see the Packers that made a lot of free agent moves. It's time for the Lakers to have a Green Bay summer and get that man some help. Because, you know, hey, Ron and Rodgers, same, around the same age, same, you know, minor injuries here and there. Best of all time in their sport, arguably. They get a lot of flack. They've been to the dance. They've been to many dances. But it's never been their fault that they don't win them. It's been their supporting cast and the coaching. That's facts. That's facts. Run the tape. Check the numbers. You can talk about J.R. Smith last year. You could talk about Brandon Bosick in the NFC Championship game. You could talk about the defense of the Packers never being there. You could talk about LeBron taking a bunch of bums to the finals in his first time doing. The comparisons and the parallels are endless. You see where I'm taking y'all. Respect the king. Put some respect on his name. Y'all know that boy gonna be back next year. Stop playing with him and stop playing with me. Tuh. Before I wrap, I do want to go back to the Duke game one more time. I do want to say that UCF, when they went for that oop, that was a knockout blow. That was the knockout blow, and they missed it. Duke ducked and countered them. And it was night-night for UCF. Sad situation. But sad to see Randall Cobb and Clay Matthews leave Green Bay. And it's crazy because I was so okay with that happening back in December. I tweeted this. I said if I was in the Green Bay front office, I would have no problem letting go of Cobb and Matthews and accompany that tweet with the shrug emoji. And I truly felt that way. I did until it actually happened. And then I was posting snaps, Clay sacks on my Instagram story from past couple of seasons since 2016 for my snap memories. I'm posting all of my favorite Randall Cobb plays. It was sad to see them go. It was sad to see Cobb go to Dallas, especially with their history with Dallas. And then Clay going out to Cali, man. I didn't like it one bit. I watched the AAF last night. Johnny Manziel was back on the field talking his talk, walking that walk. Shout out to Johnny, glad he's back in the States playing football. The AAF is going to be around for a while. A lot of people are like, are understanding that I like the AFF. I like it. And it's, you know, it's a good filler, something to watch until it's really time for the NFL to be back. And, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed the game last night. I think I touched bases on everything. I think that's it for us. Thank you for listening. Continue to follow the Twitter page at Electrified Pod. Continue to follow the Instagram. I promise I will be back on YouTube soon. I want the YouTube content to be as good as possible. And until I'm in a position to give you that, I'm not giving it to you. So just be patient. But until then, continue to listen. Let's get these listens up. Get these plays up. Continue to retweet and like the drops. Let me know when you listen, man. Post that screenshot. Tag me in the screenshot. I like the support. I like to know that people are listening, man. I appreciate it. So continue to listen. Continue to support. I love all the support. I'll be back right here again. I'm trying to think because I would like to line these. Let me look at the March Madness schedule because I want to line this show up with the March Madness schedule because I don't want to you know, not be able to talk about that because I'm set to go on Friday. Let's see. This is the schedule. Okay. All right, bet. All the games are on Thursday and Friday. So I'll be back Saturday. Saturday at 12, I'm back. How about that? Yeah, that's fair. Saturday at 12, I'm back live. I'm not live, excuse me. Saturday at 12, I'm back. 12 p.m. available on all platforms, of course, all audio platforms. So until then, thank you for listening. And I'm Eric Alliance, and you have just been electrified.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.